I'm going to read now the first three verses of 1 John chapter 5. I considered verse 1 a couple of Sundays ago. My intention is to focus in more closely on verses 2 and 3 this morning. So I'm going to read the first three verses of 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
Amen.
Although it is the sovereign work of God the Holy Spirit that enables any true believer for whom Christ died to see and believe the truth of the Word of God, centered in the truth that salvation is found in Christ alone, through faith alone in Him, due to the grace of God alone, to the glory of God alone, according to the truth of the Bible alone. The Bible alone is the Word of God. This does not mean that a believer is called upon to display what I would call blind faith in what the Holy Spirit is enabling them to see and believe, both about the Bible and what it reveals and teaches the true believer in Christ, in the Christ of God. I use the term Christ of God to refer to the biblical Christ. The Christ clearly defined in the Scriptures of God, and not all the false Christs popular in the world and in how many apostate, unbelieving churches today. For the Holy Spirit's gracious and sovereign ministry is to take the truths He has written about the Lord Jesus Christ and reveal them when, where, and how He chooses to those for whom Christ died. But when the true believer in God is unable to see the truth of the Bible centered in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, he or she is not called upon to display blind, unthinking faith in comparison to the devil-blinded evolutionist who believes nothing produced everything, who believes that non-reason produced reason, who believes that randomness produced fine detail, who believes that non-life produced life, who believes chaos produced complexity, who believes unconsciousness produced consciousness, and who believes mindless matter produced instructional information. No, no. When you, believer, are unable to see and believe the truth of the Bible and how it points you to Christ Jesus as your only hope for acceptance with God, you are unable to see that non-Holy Spirit-inspired men could not have written the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't have written the Bible. As Peter teaches in 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Non-Holy Spirit-inspired man could not have written the Bible because it contradicts and conflicts with so much, even all, that the non-believer believes and thinks. The things that he believes and thinks should be accepted simply because he believes it. After all, haven't you realized that man and not God defines reality today? And if you dare question a person's view of their reality, you're a bigot.
Yeah.
But John's extended teaching on the subject of love, a subject I return your attention to, having reached verses 2 and 3 of 1 John 5, show you that he is clearly writing under the infallible guidance of a different spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, in comparison to the ones guiding those who think they have the right and the ability to write in the subject of love. but don't even know that 1 John exists in the Bible. How can you have a correct understanding of love if you don't even refer to 1 John? It's impossible. For in the verses I've reached, 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3, John puts together two things that how many writing and waxing poetic about love see as enemies and not friends. What two things? Law and love. Law and love. To use the title of a secular song I have no intentions of listening to other than having to have to hear it more than once when subjected to the variety of music that you can be subjected to in a grocery store. What's love got to do with it? Huh? What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with the law of God? What's love got to do with the law of God? The world, and sadly even many in the churches, would say, nothing. Nothing. But John declares the exact opposite, continuing to teach on the subject of love. For in the verse I sought to open up 2 weeks ago, verse 1, chapter 5 of 1 John, John describes someone who is a true believer in God, a true Christian. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And the way such a true believer in God displays this truth, this true belief in who the biblical Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is and alone can be, again, needing to stress, John is writing under about the biblical Christ, the Christ defined by the Bible and not the many false Christs defined by others like those in Islam, Mormonism, and Romanism. They're not biblical Christs. But the way such a true believer displays this belief is in the love that he or she displays towards his or her fellow born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. But what does it mean? What does it mean to love your fellow believer who has been born again by God? John goes on in verse 2 to describe how this is done. And that what he writes gives further evidence that he is clearly writing under a different spirit than the many who think they have the right and ability to write and sing about love, not being guided by the Word of God, the Holy Bible. Now, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, true believers are not feelingless slabs of granite. But the majority in the world, especially the romanticized Western world, think that love is primarily emotional.
That's right.
If not solely emotional. Love has nothing to do with the will or the mind. Whereas if I am correct in saying this, if you can divide the unitary soul of man into mind, affections, and will, to love, as John writes, involves the whole soul. With the mind of our souls, we understand what love means. With the affections of our soul, we are enabled by the Holy Spirit to see and appreciate these things as being truly loving actions and attitudes. And with the will of the soul, we seek by the grace of God to see this fruit of the Spirit displayed in our redeemed lives. And John shows this in verses 2 and 3 of 1 John 5. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. And by what John writes in these two verses, he is continuing to show that he's writing under the infallible inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Not like those who have written and continue to write about love, not being guided by what John infallibly writes about love here. And there's a number of reasons I can give to show you this. First, what does John write at the beginning of verse 2? By this we know that we love God, that we love the children of God. Notice, even before looking at how John describes how this knowledge is seen or displayed, he has already annoyed those not willing to be guided by the Word of God regarding two things. The first I've already mentioned. What does John say is required for a correct understanding of love? By this we know that we love the children of God. True love involves knowledge. True love involves knowledge. True love involves thinking. Yet, as I have said, what is the majority opinion regarding love today? It doesn't involve thinking. Perish the thought. It is purely emotional, not volitional or cognitive. A professing Christian woman meeting a professing Christian man for the first time does not have stars going off in her mind when she sees him for the first time after corresponding with him and shuts down the relationship even as they are shaking hands. See, that's emotion. You don't think about what love is biblically. It's an emotion. Full stop. John, how can you dare say, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we do something related to God? I don't even believe in God. And I especially don't believe in His commandments. But I believe in love. It's not biblical. But this is because of a second thing that John writes that shows he's clearly writing under the infallible guidance of the Holy Spirit. What am I referring to? By this we know that we love the children of God. By this we know we love the children of God. Who is John referring to when he uses the phrase, the children of God? And in saying what I'm about to say, I'm not denying that the Scriptures clearly and repeatedly teach that believers are to seek to love all men, even their enemies. Which again shows that the volitional aspect of love is something not stressed today, for love is patient, even as you can't agree with something a person believes or like what they are doing to you, like taking out your tongue. But who is John referring to when he uses the phrase children of God? And in saying what I'm about to say, I'm not denying that the living, true, and only God is the creator, sustainer, and final judge of all bearing His image, whether believer or non-believer. But the phrase children of God, however much it is misused in the world and in many churches, as used by John and Paul as well, is a phrase referring to believers. It's a phrase referring to believers, to those Christ died for. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. For listen to how John uses this, the phrase children of God, in the gospel bearing his name, when he writes about how the Lord used even the unbelieving Caiaphas to state truth, going way beyond why Caiaphas was saying what he said. And it would have offended this prejudiced Jew. And it will offend all prejudiced people not willing to accept the teachings of the Bible. John 11:47-52. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that is it expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. And what does John write back in 1 John 3:10? In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Notice, John contrasts the children of God, true believers, in the biblical Christ with children of the devil. How many believe that today? Even in the churches. Believe what? That in order to be a true child of God, you need to be born again by God and have faith in the biblical Christ. Because what does Paul write in Galatians 3:26? For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So John clearly shows the true born-again believers in the Christ of God can know that they are displaying true love both toward God and their fellow believers by doing something. Now the important thing to notice, as I'll show, But the important thing to notice and never forget is that John never, as none of the other Bible writers do as well, John never, I repeat, never, you got my attention? Never? John never refers to law keeping as the way or means of acceptance with God. Never! That, friends, is the law or the lie of human religion. Something, sadly, that has infected the churches of Christ with a vengeance since Constantine. The idea that by doing something you merit favor with God and can earn acceptance with God through what you are doing. John does not misuse the law of God in this demonic way. But what does he do? What does he do? He is showing that he is again writing under a different spirit, the Holy Spirit. Because how does John say believers not only shall love for the God who has saved them and made them new creations in Christ Jesus, but love for those who have also been saved even as they have been. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Obedience to the commandments of God never have and never will be meritorious. Regardless of how many foolish and dangerously deceived people believe this demonic lie. But how can or how does a true believer in the biblical Christ show love towards their fellow believers and the God who has saved them? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Referring again to Romans 13, started to read at verse 8. Oh, no man, anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Notice, is Paul referring to emotions in these verses? Or actions? Actions. Love in the Bible is an action word. I love my brother or sister in Christ. Are you stealing from them? Then you're not loving your brother or sister in Christ. Are you bearing false witness against them? Then you're not loving your brother or sister in Christ. Are you coveting something they have or are able to do? Then you are not displaying love towards your brother or sister in Christ. You are sinning against them and you need to repent. But notice what John does. Notice what he's declaring again. Don't say you love God if you are acting in an unloving way towards your fellow brother or sister in Christ. Because how does John say love towards God is seen? Verse 3. For this is love of God, that we keep His commandments. Are you loving? Are you displaying love for God when you kill someone made in His image? Are you displaying love for God when you rip the tongue out of someone simply because he wants to confess the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or burn them at the stake? Is that displaying love towards God as you kill a fellow image bearer in such heinous ways? You are displaying neither love to God or man. Lost religious men show that they do not know God by what they have done and are willing to do to their fellow man in the service of their religion. Love to God and man is seen. John 15:13. Greater loveth no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Friends, it's not surprising that unbelieving And dare I say, unloving man has labored to distort the meaning of the word love. Because you face what love means biblically. There's only one conclusion that can be drawn. I must be made a new creation in Christ Jesus to display this love towards God and my fellow man. Because by nature, I am a hate-filled man. And I can display that hate in any number of ways towards my fellow man. Mm-hmm. What does John write back in 1 John 4:2? If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. And he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? John defines for you how love, if I dare put it this way, John defines for you how love horizontally towards man in the image of God, especially those believing in the biblical Christ, and vertically towards the living and true and only God who has made and sustains all things, can be seen keeping his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And notice what John says about the commandments of God. They're not grievous. They're not grievous. They're not a burden. They don't weigh you down, but show you how you can display true love towards your brothers and sisters in Christ and towards the God who has made them your brother or sister in Christ. Am I loving my fellow brother or sister in Christ to believe, teach, or accept anything that is false about God? No. You can't be showing love towards God and love towards your fellow man and your fellow believers to believe anything that's not true about God. That's bearing false witness against God.
That's right.
That's lying about God. One of the reasons that John wrote 1 John was to combat the increasing number of false ideas that were infecting the church concerning who the Lord Jesus Christ is and alone can be. Am I displaying love towards God or my fellow believer in Christ or the unbelieving world to believe, teach, or accept anything said about the Lord Jesus Christ that is false? No! And as I'll mention later in the morning message, the ecumenical movement is demonic.
Yes.
Because the ecumenical movement teaches an antichrist.
That's crazy.
Muslims, Romanists, and Jews do not teach the biblical Christ. They're bearing false witness to say what they say about Christ, not only to you, but to God. Because think of it, Jesus is God incarnate. How can you be displaying love for his deity and his sinless humanity to say anything about him that's not true? You're bearing false witness against man and God. If I was to say something to someone else about you that was not true, I would be bearing false witness against you and not displaying love. If I was to tell something about the Lord Jesus Christ that was not true, I would not be displaying love for you or God, because Jesus is God incarnate. You can't have false views about Christ Jesus and be displaying love to either God or man.
That's right.
And although I am only a few weeks or more away from finishing this letter of John's, I confess, as I considered how John declares how confessing believers in the biblical Christ can display love for both the God who has saved them and those God has saved by keeping God's non-grievous commandments, I found the last two verses of this letter especially important. 1 John 5:20-21, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. If you confess that Jesus is the Christ of God, are you displaying love for either God or your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to have false and aberrant views of the Lord Jesus Christ? No. Yet in how many edifices called churches today are false and aberrant views of Christ Jesus not only taught, but seen? True love towards God, true love towards our fellow man, towards our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ is seen in keeping the non-grievous commandments of God. And if this is true, and it is, how much true love is present in the world today? How much true love is present in the churches today? How much true love is present in this fellowship today? And how much true love is in our individual lives today? His commandments are not grievous. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we bow before you and ask that you would forgive us for the many times when we allow annoyance, frustration, even hate to rise up in our hearts against another image bearer of God, even a fellow believer in Christ. Forgive us and fill us with the love of Jesus, who came into this world to save sinners. And deliver them from their hate-filled thoughts, their hate-filled words, their hate-filled actions. And to those who want to reflect the one who has saved them. Make us such a people, and we will give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.